welcome to a bonus episode of the Encourage Podcast. We love sharing new books with you, and today, Encourage Community Manager Becky Keefe talks with one of our favorite authors. Listen as they have a conversation that's sure to encourage your heart, and learn more about a book we love. Well, hello, Encourage friends. Gosh, I am so excited about this conversation because we are kicking off a special new series on the podcast for anyone who is struggling. Is anyone listening struggling? Just shout right now in your car. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh,
did you mean us? Did you mean us?
I meant everyone. I meant our listeners, you. So, friends, those are the voices of three, yes, count it, three very special guests we have on the podcast today. None other than our own Encourage, Mary Carver, Michelle Couchat, and Barb Roos. Hi, friends.
Hello, hello.
Crowd screams.
Okay, so here's what you guys are in store for today. If you haven't heard yet, you need to hear now. Encourage has a brand new book out called 100 Days of Strength in Any Struggle. 100 Days of Strength in Any Struggle. And this sweet book, it's a devotional journal, which means you get God's word. You get real stories from real women just like you and space to journal and just work it all out with Jesus, because that's what we really need. And we're going to be talking about, there are 10 themes in this book, and we're going to be talking about one of them today, which is surrendering all. And how through the act of surrendering our all to God, we actually tap into the strength that we feel like is so inaccessible, but it's actually right there for us. So welcome officially to the Encourage Podcast, Mary, Michelle, and Barb. Hi, friends.
Hello. Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yes. Gosh, this is going to be so, so good. So, I kind of wish, friends, that you could have heard the pre-recording conversation, because maybe I don't. I'm just going to say, like,
maybe we are not. Maybe not.
We're real. We are just moms so real. And working women and people in our car on our lunch break. And I've got a sick kid here, and just, we're just real. And so we invite you in your very real, probably messy life into this conversation with us. So each one of you, I want to hear, when you hear the word surrender, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
For me, it's overwhelmed. Just that sense of something is about to crash down on me and I can't stop it. And it's usually something that means a lot, and that there is just this helplessness. And so when I think about surrender, it sometimes can feel like failure. It can sometimes feel like overwhelm. It can sometimes feel like lost. It just, surrender is complicated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I think of, when I hear the word surrender, I think both it is the thing that I most need to do and the thing that I least likely want to do. The passage from Paul of I don't do the thing I'm supposed to do when I do the thing I'm not supposed to do. It's that dichotomy for me. I know surrender is we're invited to do that, and it's supposed to be a good thing, but it also sounds terrible. Mm. Giving over control. No thanks.
Yeah. When I first think of surrender, when you mention that, what comes to mind is it's usually my last resort, because I love to be in charge. I love to be in control. If a job needs to be done, I'm going to have to be the one to do it. God, move over. Let me get this job done. And I tend to arm wrestle things and try to force things to happen, force people to be the way I want them to be, force situations to be the way I want them to be. And I just keep wrestling that thing to the ground and trying to control it until finally I realize it's not working. And I get so frustrated that I throw up my hands and say, fine, I give up. And that's usually what has to happen before I finally surrender and let go.
Yeah, those are all good, real responses. I was thinking that same phrase, Michelle, last resort, and how often I think just in our humanness, see surrender as our last resort. And a surrender meaning the word you said, Mary, control, giving over control. I think of like how often I go through my life tight-fisted, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm just grasping onto my own circumstances, my own control. You know, even the negative emotions, grasping onto, you know, my anxiety or my disappointment. And yet that surrender, I just always think of that picture of opening my hands and saying, mm-hmm. God, like I don't want to hold on to this anymore. And it's finally like that full giving over of ourselves to God and saying, actually, you're worthy of my trust. You're worthy of being in the driver's seat, because like I'm on a crash course of failure and destruction over here. And he's the only one that can truly course correct. So if you guys are willing, I would love to hear a story. Maybe it's from our book, 100 Days of Strength in Any Struggle, or maybe it's just something, you know, that the Lord brings to mind at this moment, but a time when you were in a place of struggle and you were desperate for God's strength and how he met you in that place through the process of surrender.
One thing comes right to mind for me. I'll just jump right in, but this was back when I was in my 20s. And I had gone through a really, really, really hard season of my marriage falling apart and things not going well. And I was really angry. You know, I had been raised in a Christian home, prayed for my future husband. I'd checked all the boxes. You know, I had done all the right things, avoided the wrong things. You know, it sounds so cheesy, but I was really trying to be a good girl. And then all of a sudden, even though I did the right things, I ended up with a life that was completely turned on its head. And I was angry. I was so angry at God because I felt like he had fallen down on the job and wasn't fulfilling his part of the bargain. And so for about a year or so, I didn't want to have anything to do with him. So I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to pray. I mean, I wasn't even sure I believed in the reality of God anymore, because it's like, why do this Christian thing if it's not going to pan out, if it's not going to come with some benefit? And what I discovered through that really dark season, and again, I was like 27 years old or so.
You're not still 27, Michelle?
I'm like 29. It's been a couple of years.
Okay.
And by the way, for those listening, the laughter communicates how clearly I'm not 29 anymore. Thank you, Mary Carver.
You're welcome, friend.
You look good, girl.
I do. Yeah, thank you. We're going to just believe in the power of filters. So all of that to say, throughout, like, it was about a year and a half of completely cutting, like putting up a wall between me and God and the reality of him. But what I discovered in that season is that life without him had just as much suffering as life with him. Mm-hmm. I had just as many questions, just as many things I couldn't make sense of. And there was one night where the despair was truly starting to suck me under. And I cried out to God. I still remember where I was laying on my bed, looking at the ceiling. And I said, God, I need you more than I need to understand. Please don't leave me. And that was a moment of surrender of, I was surrendering my need for answers and instead holding on to him. My hands had to let go of my desperate need to make sense of everything and instead just hold on to his presence. And that was a huge turning point in my life and faith.
Wow. I like quickly grabbed my pen and was like writing stuff down, because I feel like I need to hear that. I know other people need to hear that. Life without him, without God, has just as much suffering as life with him. So turning our backs on God is not going to eliminate or alleviate the suffering. And then, Michelle, what you said about what that surrender looked like is you saying to God, I need you more than I need to understand. Wow, yep. That's powerful.
Yeah. I feel like I had a moment that was similar to Michelle's, that moment, I think expressed differently. I remember a season when one of my kids just had a bunch of developmental delays. And I thought, as a good mom, my job was to figure out what was going on. And so there were doctor's appointments, and there was back and forth about testing. And my approach, again, I grew up in the church as well. And so my approach with God had always been, and I really took the Bible at the word of pray to God for what you want. But I had unwittingly used God kind of as a soldier in my quest to get accomplished what was on my agenda. So when I was searching for answers, my prayers were about asking or even requiring God to provide what I was requesting. And it was this requirement that this is what I need from you. And I remember there was this one test, the insurance wouldn't cover it. And for me, that was the final option. And I fell apart on my kitchen floor. And I still remember that day. I slid down the front of my kitchen cabinets, and my face was laying on the cold linoleum floor. And like Michelle, at that point, I was like, why am I even going to believe in God anymore? And I remember having this whole reckoning of my faith while I was laying with my face on the floor. And I remember my cheek got wet because of the tears, and linoleum and wet tears don't go together. It was a rough scene. And as I laid there and I contemplated life on my own, it offered no additional comfort, because if I was on my own, I was really on my own. And the revelation for me in that moment was I had done everything I could. And there was a reason why I was where I was at, but the answer wasn't me turning my back on God. And that day, there was this revelation in my mind of, if it was going to get done, God was going to have to do it. And I wish I could say that surrender became this automatic posture for me the rest of my life. It actually, that was just the first time I was willing to entertain the idea of surrender. The other times when I surrendered, I didn't recognize that it was such, and it was because I had been beaten blue and finally had to let go. But this time I was a willing participant. And if it was going to get done, God was going to have to do it. And it was so interesting for me, because the phone rang again a few minutes after I made that kind of revelation. And it was my kid's school. The school called. They said, "Barb, you don't need to call your insurance company. We have a fund that pays for this test." They had no idea that 15 minutes before, the insurance company had denied me. And when I hung up, what I realized was God was whispering, "Barb, if it's going to get done, I'm going to do it, and I don't need your help." And so I've held on to this idea often that when I let go of what I can't control, it opens up the door for God to be fully God in my life. And that's what I need. I don't need the problem solved. I need to see God as fully God, no matter what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I love that, like, if it's going to get done, God is going to have to do it. Yes. But then that he brought you that step farther and deeper, like, and it's actually not even about the thing getting done. It's about, like, do you really believe, like, that I am God, and that I don't need your help and your striving and all of that. And wow. Yeah.
I kind of want to take that phrase, Barb, that God saying to you, "I don't need your help." You know, like, "P.S. I don't need your help." I want to put that on a post-it note on my computer, just as a reminder. You know, God, every day, "Hey, Michelle, P.S. don't need your help."
Right, because we love to help God out in the most well-meaning of ways. It'll make a mess, and it does not stop us the next time. We love to help God out. God's like, "That's not exactly how this works, girls."
Well, and especially, I think, like, especially as women, and maybe more so as moms, because the four of us are moms, I think so much of our lives, our brains, our energy is devoted to crossing things off a list, to taking care of business. I am legit almost crying over here, Barb, because hearing you say, if it's going to get done, God's going to have to do it. Like 20 minutes before we started recording, I was texting with my best friend about, I've got a sick kid. Okay. I've got a sick kid. She has been sick in one way or another for what feels like a very long time. Some of it is physical. Some of it is mental. It's all really hard, really messy. And there's no break. There's no reprieve. And I've been doing all the things, right? Like, and I feel like I have to defend myself to principals, to counselors. Like, I'm doing all the things. I'm trying all the things. I'm working. And just 20 minutes ago or before we started, I was telling my friend that we're doing this new thing for my kiddo next week. We're starting something new. And she said, "What's your gut say? Do you think it's going to work or do you think it will help?" And all I could say was, nothing helps. Nothing works. I don't know. To be clear, listeners, friends, I am not in my 20s. However, I feel like I'm still, not that I haven't gone through these periods of time where as a last resort, I surrendered to God and I thought I learned a lesson, but here I am again. But like, I'm more at the beginning of the story that Michelle and Barb are sharing, because I have been, like Becky described it, holding on so tightly and trying so hard to fix it all, because we have prayed and it hasn't gotten fixed. So, okay, if God's not going to do it, I've got to. That was not what we're going to put on the post-it.
Rip that post-it up, baby.
But it has been how I have felt and how I have mm-hmm. been operating. Mm-hmm. And so I have felt, you know, some of that surrender, that peeling my fingers off, that letting go, just out of desperation. And just, I guess, repeated evidence that my way is not the way. But gosh, it's just really hard. It's really hard.
I think what you're tapping into here is how scary surrender can sometimes feel. That's right. That it's kind of like it feels like a free for all, like you're just jumping out of a window and you don't know if there's going to be anything there to catch you. And I think when it comes to our loved ones, whether it's a best friend or a family member or a child or a spouse or whatever, or when it comes to just our own life and death, you know, bodies and everything, when the stakes are really high, let's put it that way, the risk is extraordinary. And surrender in that kind of place is terrifying. Like, if we don't have a really good, solid, grounded, understanding of who God is and his character and his, you know, and even some experience with his character, it almost feels like too big of a risk to take. And I think that's the tension and struggle for all of us, Mary. I'm so glad you shared that with us.
I am too. It is scary. And I know that there is more than one, more than two, more than 20, more than 100 listeners who are where you are at. And Michelle, for those of us who know Michelle's story, Becky's story, my story, Mary's story, like surrender is a lesson that we learn over and over again in different circumstances. And so even as we share the stories of what may have been in the past for some of us, there are surrender journeys that I am on right now that I've had to learn about who God is afresh and anew. And so if you're out there and you are like, you're kind of beating yourself up because surrender is difficult in what you're facing, surrender is a spiritual practice that keeps surfing in our life, because we live in a world that it's broken. And yet God's blessing to us is when we can open up our hands and we can see him in a new way. But it is always scary, and we should not be ashamed or afraid to admit that it's scary and it's hard.
Yeah. You know, Holly Girth, in 100 Days to Strength, Days of Strengthening Struggle, on page, I don't even know what page it is. It's day 42, 43. Holly Girth says this, and it was so good. She said, surrender is often a process, not an event.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
And that's exactly good. What you were talking about, Barb.
That's so true. That's so true. I will say, Michelle, one thing that helps me is our friend Jennifer Dukes Lee. Mm-hmm. In her book, it's All Under Control.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, I know we're here to talk about our book, but I'm going to talk about our friend Jennifer, because she mentions in there, and we have talked, you know, in person and talked about how much we love control and how it's not meant to be ours. And just coming back to the fact that he is God and I am not. And so when I feel like I could do this better, or at least quicker, or at least you could see me trying really hard, or when it's just scary, I try to remember that part and be thankful for it. Because clearly, we've all talked about how, like, we don't come to surrender when we're like, well, things are okay, but they could be better. We come to surrender when things are really, really hard and we've been trying and we're exhausted. Well, clearly we are not being successful in this because we are not God. He is God.
Imagine that.
And I am not. Imagine that.
I think my whole family that. Would be happy if I would come to that conclusion that I am not God.
But I think, go ahead, Barb.
No, please, Becky, go ahead. Jump in, baby.
No, I love that quote that you read, Michelle, from Holly Girth, because that word process was exactly like what kept on coming to mind as you girls were sharing your stories, that it's not like a one and done. You know, we think of like mountaintop experiences in our faith, but there's also these like deep pits and valleys. And we often think of like surrender as like once you hit rock bottom and then go about 10 feet deeper, then you surrender all. And then God lifts you up and like you move forward. But in my life, I've had those rock bottom moments. But what I've also been learning is that surrender is an ongoing invitation. Mm-hmm. And that really it's a posture that the Lord has been inviting me to practice every day. And, you know, I am a list girl. I am a high achiever. Like, I think there's three Enneagram threes on this phone call right now. Phone call, podcast, whatever we're doing. And so often just in a practical way, surrendering all looks like, you know, every day saying, Jesus, like, here is my list. Here is what I think the world is going to fall apart if I don't do. And God, what do you say? And then surrendering for me also looks like listening, stopping and listening and saying, you know, God, what's like the one next thing that you want me to do? How do you want me to see this list, these circumstances? And you girls know that part of my story is also that I struggle with anxiety. And so that's another part that God is continually asking me, like, do you trust me, Becky? Like, will you surrender, you know, these physical symptoms that you're having when the adrenaline is buzzing in my body and it's hard to catch my breath and my chest feels tight. Like, do you trust me in this? Like, will you surrender your brokenness, your weakness, like the limitations of your body? And a practical thing that he has shown me surrender can look like, especially when I'm in this place of high anxiety, is pouring it all out to God, right? And I think I love Psalm 62:5, and it says, rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. And later it says, it's Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Mm. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so good.
And that phrase, pour out your hearts to him, I think that that is one way we can describe surrender. And it's telling God our truth. God, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I believe is true about myself or my kid or my work or my situation. And pouring it all out, because then when we pour out, similar to like unfolding our tightly clenched fist, that opening of our hand, that pouring out of our soul, what does that do? It makes space for us to receive what God has for us. It makes space for the PS, I don't need your help. Like, let me be God.
One of my favorite enduring quotes, I learned this quote years before I actually was willing to live by it. And it is, it's an old Helen, I think it's Helen, no, Corrie Ten Boom. And it is, I hold everything loosely because it can hurt when God pries my fingers from it. Mm-hmm. And depending on how somebody sees their relationship with God, it's really easy to lean into this idea that God is the one taking things away from us. And that's not the context of the quote. The quote is that God knows that there are things that we hold on to, that what Becky was just saying, that keeps us receiving from him. So when mm-hmm. we're holding on to our unmet expectations, when we're holding on to our fixed thought of what the way we think things should be, we miss a blessing when we open our hands and say, God, I'm going to be content with what you place in my hands. And that's so hard to do, because often it requires us to let go of good things that we hope and we dream mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. And yet God is so good and gracious that he actually can give us far beyond we could ever ask or imagine, far beyond those good things that we want to hold on to. And so it's just what you said, Becky, reminded me of that quote.
I love that. Another one of my favorite Corrie Ten Boom quotes is, perhaps when our efforts have tried their best and failed, God's power alone is free to work.
Ooh. Woo.
Oh, dang.
Right. Love you, Corrie Ten Boom. Like,
run that on back and say it again for the people in the back who may not have heard you the first time.
I don't know if my toes can take it a second time, but go ahead, Becky.
It's all right. I'll send you some Band-Aids. perhaps when our effort has tried its best and failed, is God's power alone free to work?
Yep.
It's the fail part that gets me.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
It is true.
That's how we get to this place.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think at times too, you know, in God and his wisdom that's so far beyond us, sometimes he even allows us to give forth our best effort. So when all is said and done, we know for a fact that we didn't accomplish it, right? Like he's like, go ahead and wear yourself out, sweetheart. Go ahead. And then when we're finally, you know, rock bottom and 10 feet below that, like Becky would say, he's like, he does his thing, his magic. And we can't deny, like we can't take any credit for it, because it is so obviously clear that we did nothing, that only God did it.
I love for my life, the imagery of that, because God's like, go ahead, do what you want to do. And he's just patiently waiting for me to wear myself out. And he's good and gracious. And he's like, you tired yet? No. Oh, okay. You tired yet? No. And when my face is on the linoleum floor and I don't have anything left and he does his thing, I think of scriptural authors who just talk about how God's majesty is so great and how we are so small. And we sometimes need to be in a place where we can see his full majesty at work, so we really, truly trust it going forward.
Yes. Yes. Friends, this was so good for my heart. I feel like if we could sum up this conversation in two words, it would be only God.
Only God.
Mm-hmm. Only God. Maybe just say it out loud right now, right wherever you're listening. Only God. Because truly, that is what surrender is saying. It's mm-hmm. saying, only God, only you can understand what I'm going through. Only you can hold my broken pieces and actually do something with them. Only you can do what I cannot. And the thing about
God, you say it over and over and over and over again, and over and over and over again until you believe it a little bit more. I mean, it's never done.
Process, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Holly said.
Yeah. Right. So, Barb, would you be willing to pray for us as we end our time? I just feel like we need some prayer. Would you do that for us?
I will. And as we go into the prayer, if you all don't mind, there's a little part in 100 Days of Strength of Any Struggle in Jennifer Dupley's devotional in the surrender section. And I just want to, it's a couple of lines that I want to read as we pray. And this speaks to you, if you're listening to us and you're wondering, what do I do next? And what does this look like? Jennifer uses the illustration of a mustard seed. Because you may not feel like today, friend, you're able to surrender, and that's okay. Even if you can only surrender one finger and not the whole hand to open up, God can work with that. And so this is what she says. Friend, God won't fail you. When you get to thinking you're too small or too weak or a seed in the ground, cover it with dirt, add water, and it will push against the earth with great strength. The seed defies all odds to muscle forth in bloom. That's the power of God in the seed, and that's the power of God in you. And so if you don't feel like you can surrender today, friend, but you are willing to let God work, he will bring it through you. And so if you would pray with me, oh God, we are thankful that where we cannot, you can. And so, God, we come before you. Lord, some of us, we want to open our hands to you. We want to give over to you what we are unable to fix, what we're unable to force back into place. God, we want to protect what we love. We want to fix what's broken. We want to get it back on track, but it's not in our control. And so we give it over to you. And God, for those of us where surrender, it feels like a fist fight and we're full of fear. Lord, we ask that you help us be willing to trust you, that we can stand in knowing that even if we can only surrender a little, Lord, you can do a lot with a little today. And so we pray for our friends. We pray for Mary's daughter. Lord, we pray for all of the things, Lord, that you can take care of. Let us be willing to trust you in all of those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Michelle, Mary, Barb, you guys are treasures, and I'm so grateful for your willingness to come today and talk about surrendering all. And friends, I hope that you will continue to join us for this special Saturday series on 100 Days of Strength in Any Struggle. If you want to learn more, go to encourage.me. That's encourage with an I as always, .me/strength. And you can find out more about our book or just, you know, hop on over to Amazon, dayspring.com, wherever you like to buy books and grab a copy of this beautiful devotional journal. Maybe pick one up for a friend too. I know that you will be encouraged. I know that you will be strengthened, not by human words, but by the way that God's Spirit and His Word will meet you through these pages. And if this episode was meaningful to you, reach out to us on Instagram at Encourage, or reach out to at Mary Carver, at Michelle Couchat, at Barb Roos, or at Becky Keefe. Did I get all those handles right, guys?
Yes, you sure did.
Yes, you did.
Impressive.
Woo! Excellent. Excellent. All right. You are so loved, my friends. Have a great day.
The Encourage podcast is brought to you by Dayspring. For over 50 years, Dayspring has created quality cards, books, and gifts that help you live your faith. Find out more at dayspring.com.